Hello, we are reading from the book, the volume, the writings of Rabash, volume 1. The article is True Prayer is for True Deficiency. You can also find it at page 134 in the Pesach booklet, or in the writings of Rabash, volume 1, page 234. The article is True Prayer is for True Deficiency. The writing says, these are the names of the children of Israel who came to Egypt. And a new king arose over Egypt who did not know Joseph. And Egypt enslaved the children of Israel with hard work. And it came to pass that the children of Israel cried from the work, and they cried out, and their cry rose up to God from the work, and God heard their groaning. We should understand what is written, and their cry went up to God from the work. Did they not have greater suffering in Egypt? Here it seems that their cry, meaning their suffering, was only from the work. It is also written, and God heard their groaning, meaning that hearing the prayer was for their groaning, which is only about the work. We should interpret that according to our way. It is known that before a person begins to work in order to bestow, but for reasons, as it is written in the Holy Zohar, that there are two reasons that cause one to engage in Torah and mitzvot. One, to have pleasures of this world. And if he does not keep the Torah and mitzvot, he fears that the Creator will punish him. Two, to have pleasures of the next world. And since he fears that perhaps he will not be given, this is the reason that compels him to observe Torah and mitzvot. When the reason that compels him to observe Torah and mitzvot is his own benefit, then the body does not resist so much. Because to the extent that he believes in reward and punishment, he can do his work, and each day he feels that he is adding. And so is the truth, that each day that he performs mitzvot and engages in Torah adds to the previous day.
We usually think that he keeps Torah and mitzvot for himself means that he keeps the corporeal Torah and mitzvot, meaning does some actions and he thinks about getting a reward in the next world or in this one. But this may mean something completely different, that I'm going to learn the wisdom of Kabbalah, not just any teaching, and to a gathering of friends and workshops and different kinds of dissemination actions, and I do it all. It's only that I'm still, and not even still, I think that I'm going to be better off by it. That I'll come to different kinds of state, that I'll have some reward from it. And this is the way we should actually talk about it when we talk to the common people. We don't have to tell the common people that we're about to connect and reach love of others and by that forget ourselves. No, by that we'll come to a world that is all good, a good society, and so forth. Meaning, it's for our own good. It's for our own good here in this world, first of all, without coming out of the ego. Because we see that this world is advancing towards new shapes and forms. we talked about it quite a few times, that if 100 years ago, for instance, 95% of the people were living in villages, working only in order to feed themselves, and the 10% who were rural, living in cities. So today it's the opposite. For a long time already, 5% of the farmers are feeding the rest of us, and even more. And we have troubles with manpower today. We have too many people working. We don't know what to do with them. Because of the automation and all the robots working, we don't need the people in the factories as we used to need them. And we have about 10% who are about to work in different kinds of factories, and 5% will work the land, and that's it. What to do with the rest of the people? So we see here that we're standing before a place where the entire human society has to transform. We don't know what to do with it. Either give it drugs or try to awaken it in different kind of distorted behaviors so it will start killing itself. There's nothing we can do about it. It's a very serious problem. We see how millions of people are going into different kinds of wars, struggles, and that's on purpose. They don't know what to do with it. In the big cities, the countries that don't have... That's why we're standing before a great revolution. Humanity is looking for a new paradigm, how to build up itself. If it used to be, new things would come through technologic revolutions or working the land. Later on it was through the technology of the new factories, mechanical revolution. Today we don't need anything. We have a problem not how to feed people. That's not a problem. The problem is what to do with them. What will they do? We're speaking of at least 80% of the entire population of the world. This is why the wisdom of Kabbalah is revealed, and it tells us that this is my time. We should explain to people that only by connection between them will come to a state that everyone is living in an equal society, in a calm way, good way, by my wisdom. This is what the wisdom of Kabbalah is saying, and there's no other solution. Therefore, when we speak as the only ones who have a method of how to publish these things out in the open in the world, we're going to publish them in a way, direct way, meaning user-friendly, in a way suitable for the consumer. First of all, we'll explain the truth that we're heading towards a state where the world won't keep people who are sitting in offices or working different kinds of jobs because it's expensive for ecology and the whole world. It's better if they sit in their house and do nothing and sit quiet, but they can't sit quietly because the egoistic nature won't let a person just sit quietly in his house. That's why we have to have new education, new relationship between people. This is brought to us by the wisdom of Kabbalah. We pass it on to the masses in an egoistic way, so that we would feel good, we won't eat up each other, we won't be intoxicated or use drugs, we won't kill ourselves. On the contrary, we'll live good life in a state that we profit. We make profit, but not food which will be for free, basically, or clothes, that we different kinds of things we have to in order to live. But our great profit, our great gain is the next world, besides the relationship between us. And we're talking about these kind of profits, food, sex, family, and the next world, the nice relationship between people. We're talking about it egoistically. We don't have to explain to them that it has to be in order to bestow to the Creator. There is no Creator in order to rise to the higher degree. No. First of all, according to the user, this will bring us good life. From our state, when we see 80% of the world, people are redundant, too many people. We have no other choice rather to organize society. And first of all, we have to try to pass on this wisdom in different kinds of ways, connected to the wisdom of Kabbalah or not. We have to pass on this knowledge to the higher classes in politics or ideology or different kinds of fashions, because they're the one pushing humanity to wars and troubles in order to decrease the population growing and etc. So what he tells us here is something we have to understand. We're coming to people and we're explaining to them we should connect, come to a good connection, and by that we will have here, we and our children will have a good life here. Everything will be equal, everyone will have everything, we'll have a good relationship between people, we'll feel satisfaction, and besides that, we certainly have no other possibility to exist, to escape the wars and destruction. Yes. Read a few last sentences again.
While the reason that compels him to observe Torah and mitzvot is his own benefit, then the body does not resist so much, because to the extent that he believes in reward and punishment, he can do his work.
That's how we should approach the common people, and they'll have the energy and the will for it.
And each day he feels that he is adding. And so it is. Each day he engages in mitzvot and in Torah is added to the previous day. And thus he continuously adds his possessions in observing Torah and mitzvot. And the reason is that his main intention is the reward. And he's not thinking about the intention, meaning that his aim will be to bestow. Rather, he believes in reward and punishment, that for a thing that he does, he will be rewarded. Therefore, his intention is only the actions, so that they will be okay in every detail and in every detail. Otherwise, if the deeds are wrong, his work will certainly not be welcome, and he will not be rewarded for it. And when he sees that the work he does is fine, he has nothing more to worry about. And because of it, all of his concerns are only about quantity, meaning that he needs to try to do more good deeds. If he is a wise disciple, then he knows that he needs to delve more in what he is studying and be more meticulous about the works of the mitzvot, the commandments, so that they will be exactly according to the law by every kind of judgment. And he always tries to be very meticulous and very rigid and go exactly according to the law. But he has nothing more to worry about. It follows that those people whose reason for keeping Torah and Mitzvot is the burden of the kingdom of heaven, so they will have reward in this world and in the next world, they do not need the Creator to have the power to be able to engage in Torah and Mitzvot.
We too have to come to the people and say, these are laws of nature. We don't have to have some special intentions in order to bestow contentment to Him. What is to Him the upper force, to meaning to clothe some personality over Him, that He gets our intentions, our desires, our special attention or relation. Rather, we're working within the laws of nature. There's nothing else. And the only thing we need is to know how to use these forces, the laws of the system in which we are. That's it. Therefore, this is a very materialistic thing, realistic, approachable to everyone, clear to all. That's the approach, yes.
Because according to their measure of faith in reward and punishment, the body allows everyone, according to his degree, to observe. But those people who want to do the holy work in order to bestow without any reward, and they rather want to keep Torah and Mitzvot because of the greatness of the Creator, and it will be for them a great honor if they are allowed to serve the King, as it is written in the Holy Zohar, fear, that is the main thing, is for a man to fear his master, because he is great and rules, and the ruler, the essence and the roots. He interprets there in the Sulam that there are three manners in fearing the Creator. One, fear of punishment in this world. Two, fear of punishment of hell as well. Those two are not real fear, because he is not afraid because it is the commandment of the Creator, but because of his own benefit. It turns out that his own benefit is the root and the fear is the branch. And it derives from his own benefit. But fear, which is the main thing, is that he should fear the Creator because he is great and rules over everything. It turns out that the greatness of the Creator is the reason that compels him to observe Torah and Mitzvot. This is considered that his only desire is to bestow upon the Creator, and it is called bestowing contentment upon his Creator, upon his Maker, and not for his own benefit.
This comes already by the reforming light, and it's not that a person has it on his own behalf, from his own reasons. This is the meaning that such an intention of bestowal is not from this world already. An upper force comes close within a man, and it provides this man the ability to think this way.
It turns out that the greatness of the Creator is the reason that compels him to observe Torah and Mitzvot. This is considered that his only desire is to bestow upon the Creator, called bestowing contentment upon his Maker, and not for his own benefit. Here begins the exile, meaning that he is not allowed to aim his work to be not in order to receive reward, since it is against nature. And although a person can bow himself, lower himself, although the body disagrees, such as a person can torment himself, even though it is against nature. But this has to do with deeds, meaning in order for a person to do something that the body does not want, he can go above reason, which is called against the body's will. However, he cannot go against his feeling and his intellect, meaning to say that he feels other than he actually feels. For example, if a person feels cold or hot, he cannot say that what he feels is not true and force himself to say that he understands otherwise than what his mind tells him, or that he feels otherwise than what he is actually feeling. So he has no other option but to say what he sees. It turns out that when a person wants to observe Torah and Mitzvot in order to bestow upon the Creator, it is the nature of the body to not move at all unless he sees that it will get some reward. Therefore, he cannot work in order to bestow and not for his own benefit. And here begins the exile, meaning the suffering. For as much as he works, he sees no progress. For example, if he is 20 years old, on the one hand, he can say that he has already acquired the possession of 20 years of engaging in Torah and Mitzvot. On the other hand, he can say that since he has already observed Torah and Mitzvot 20 years and still has not achieved the ability to do something in order to bestow, but it is all built on the foundation of self-love.
Meaning, if he does it for himself, then he certainly is looking for the result, the reward. If he's doing it for the Creator's sake, then every moment he's doing, the result is there. He did it for the Creator. What does he need? And if he wants to see the result itself, it's a sign that it's for himself. That's why here there must be a precision about his actions and to be certain that he's doing it for the Creator. It will come as a result after nullifying himself and renouncing any sign of the reward or knowledge about what is going on with him, happening or not happening at all, as a result of his actions. If he completely gives it up, he rises to faith above reason, detaching himself from all the results from his exertion, then later on, only after that, pushing it away from himself, the spiritual world is revealed to him, and there he sees the results of his actions. And of course, if he falls off this approach above himself, outside himself, and some smallest corruption occurs when he is connected to the result, he immediately falls. Go ahead.
It turns out that all the suffering and pains that he suffers are because he cannot work for the Creator, and he wants to work in order to bestow. And the body, which is enslaved to the klipot, does not let him make this intention. Then he cries to the Creator for help, because he sees that he is in exile among the klipot, the shells, and they govern him, and he sees no way to be able to come out of their control. It turns out
specifically these thoughts about him, himself working in order to bestow through the group, through others. It's all for bestowal outside himself, with nothing for himself. And later on, when there is some kind of corruption in this intention for himself, this is called a klipa, a shell. To begin with, there are no klipot. The klipot are with respect to the kedusha, to sanctity. They are born out of the corruptions in sanctity. Yes.
It turns out that at that time his prayer is called a true prayer, because a person cannot come out of this exile. It is as it is written, and he took Israel out of them, for his grace is everlasting. Since this thing is against nature, and only the Creator can deliver Israel from this exile. However, since it is known that there is no light without a kli, a vessel, meaning no filling without a deficiency, a lack, and the lack is the kli that receives the filling, therefore, before a person enters the exile, meaning if he does not see that he cannot come out of the exile by himself, it is irrelevant to talk about being delivered, because although he is crying out, get me out of the state that I am in, it is not a real prayer. Because how does he know that he cannot come out by himself? But specifically when he feels the exile, it can be said so, meaning that he will pray from the bottom of the heart. Because in order to pray from the bottom of the heart, there are two conditions. One, his work must be against nature, meaning that he wants to do everything only to bestow, and he wants to exit self-love. Then it can be said that he has a lack, a deficiency. Two, he begins to come out of self-love by himself and exerts in it, but cannot move an inch from his situation. Then he becomes needy of the Creator's help. And then his prayer is genuine, because he sees that he himself cannot do anything. Then when he cries to the Creator to help him, he knows it from the work, as it is written, and the children of Israel sighed from the work. Meaning from working and wanting to come to the degree of being able to bestow upon the Creator, and seeing that they cannot come out of their nature, then they prayed from the bottom of the heart. By that we will understand what is written about, we will understand what we asked about what is written, and their cry went up to God from the work. It means that the greatest suffering for which their cry was about was only the work and not other things. However, they cried about their situation, that they could not come out of self-love and work in order to bestow, that this was their exile that caused them suffering, that they saw that they were placed under their control. It turns out that in the exile in Egypt, they attained kelim, meaning a desire for the Creator's help to bring them out of the exile, as it is said that there is no light without a kli. For only when we pray a true prayer, when a person sees that he cannot be saved at all, but the Creator can help him, this is called a true prayer.
Clear, right? Or isn't it? It means that all the resistance is considered for us as a resistance if it comes as a disturbance from our exertion to reach bestowal. A klipa means that an egoistic force comes, it grabs us, pulls us to a thought for ourselves, for itself, for his own self, this person, and when he's incapable of being in the intention in order to bestow, then the intention that he now received for himself is called a klipa, a shell. Well, I don't know what to add. We talked a lot about it. The sensation of exile is, just as we heard in the end, that the sensation of exile is as much as I yearn to rise to that intention and actions that will be with no self-interest, that everything will disappear, all the results of my actions, I won't see them, and if I'm incapable of thinking this way, something is pulling me back inside, that's Pharaoh. That's the exile. It doesn't let me escape. Doesn't let me take an action when I fly outside myself. Clear? Yes.
What is that state that he's writing here in the end when it comes to a state that only the Creator can help him? What is that state?
That if I feel the exile, and if I do a lot of efforts in order to rise above this exile, as it is written that no one can escape Egypt because Pharaoh held them in such a way, he's holding a person. We can say he's holding this person in a way that no one can rise above it. That's on purpose. It's done this way. We don't have to think about it this way in advance, that we won't be able to come out of it, because if we work this way, we'll never come to the eruption coming out. But when a person is constantly searching through the group and dissemination, and he does the efforts, the reforming light comes. This light builds within the person an additional ability to exert, to do more actions seemingly in order to bestow. But that's within Egypt. What does that mean? He's doing the actions, and he's thinking he's doing it for others, but tuck, immediately he finds out it's for himself. He didn't think about himself according to what is revealed to him, but later on it's revealed to him that, no, you didn't think about it, but you didn't find out that you have an additional ego, a greater ego, more internal layers of the will to receive for himself, and there you are receiving it for your own good. Come over here, I'll show you. As much as we want to do actions for love, for connection or something, later on we find out it's all for ourselves. And that is exactly the work of Pharaoh, to show us that as much as we do good and nice actions, and at the same moment it seems it's such devotion, I'm willing to die for it. Okay, that's what seems to you, but look what's going on inside. Inside there's an egoistic calculation. But I didn't do it that way. That's true, but still, it's egoistic. So Pharaoh takes all our efforts for himself. our exertions, everything I want to give to sanctity, to bestow to others, he devours it for himself. This is called, he swallowed, he devoured the armies, the hosts, and then he threw it up. Vomits these hosts. He swallows it all up, and I see I didn't do anything. Then the next time I go to bestow, I have an even emptier kli, a state that I never bestowed, and maybe for the first time I'll be able to do it. And Pharaoh is preparing this opportunity because he took it all for himself, and then I do everything in my ability, my force to come out of myself. Maybe this time I'll be able to do it. And maybe I did it, and immediately I find out it's for myself again. And he devours it all up again. And so it is until he is completely full. That's what we call the 400 years. And then comes a time where I get it all back. In this way we advance. Meaning Pharaoh here, we have to understand that it's a system that includes two parts, and we have to know how to work with these two. Truly. Pharaoh accompanies us all the time. All the time, he's a loyal servant. A true angel of the Creator. He's under the complete control of the Creator. That's why it's called, I've created the evil inclination. More? Yes, Tzvika.
He says here, then his prayer is a real prayer. Is there such a thing as a non-real prayer? If I'm praying already, it's from the bottom of my heart. What does it mean, a non-real prayer?
True. So what?
He says, because they cannot come out of the exile.
Every time that you're asking, you're praying, you're crying out, you're outbursting in a plea, in a prayer, and begging, or maybe even with gratitude, it's all real. Yeah, that's all real. True. That's why it's called the prayer of every mouth. Even the dirtiest mouth is praying.
How do I come to a state where, because when I pray, I'm not sure someone can help me. I pray because I know no one can help me. Who's going to help me? The Creator? That's the worst situation.
In the worst possible state, then you specifically turn to the Creator. You have no one else to turn.
But you can see He's not helping you.
Doesn't matter. You nevertheless pray.
What is a real prayer?
A real prayer is already... These are very high things. When you really... Well, let's say it this way. Real prayer is that for the time being, I feel that I'm praying only for others, and I seemingly don't exist. That's the meaning of a real prayer. All the rest are prayers for myself. What does myself mean? That the Creator has prepared different kinds of situations for me, bad, evil. I'm suffering from something. He did it to me because there's none else besides Him. And I'm praying for Him, what for? To push them away, take it away. Stop doing whatever you're doing to me. That's the prayer. If I'm praying for myself. So that's an egoistic prayer which comes from hatred of the Creator because He did all these things to you, right? Everything you're going through. And you want to get rid of it. You're breaking His uniqueness. Maybe you think it's not Him. How can you pray to Him if He did it? What are you asking for Him not to do it? Meaning, He's not the good creator. He's the bad creator. Right? And then you start dividing him into two, the good God and the bad God. And that's how you start getting confused who you're dealing with. That's why a real prayer is only a prayer when a person is trying to build it through the friends. The group is, the circle is like a lens through which you can focus your sight, your inclination to the Creator, which is outside yourself. That your ray of your vision is directed to Ein Sof, infinity. Ein Sof is a place there is no way back from. You're sending it all to Ein Sof. Yes.
I want to try a little simulation to understand what you're saying now.
You're always simulating, so you're doing your simulations.
Look, I'm in a bad situation, and now you're telling me...
Until you say that your state is wonderful, it's good, and you're in the end of correction, and there is no happier, no more special state, because you're under the control of the unified, united creator. It can't be bad. It's the ideal state for me. Until you feel that, it's not called spirituality.
I understand. Now you're saying, when you're a Kabbalist, you'll do this work. That's fine.
What do you mean, when you'll come to it, you'll reach it?
Yeah, but I'm not there, so what do I do now?
So we see what you're doing.
So to whom am I praying? What's happening?
You're cursing everyone for the fact that you feel bad. Your ego is not fulfilled.
So you're telling me, in a situation you're in, pray to your friends.
Yes.
How can I do that? How do I come to a state where I pray to my friends when I'm in trouble?
You can keep on going, doing what your ego is directing you to do. By that, you do not advance. We're explaining to you, if you want to advance to a spiritual state, you have to take some action which is not according to your desire. Start, nevertheless, to associate yourself to a society, to include yourself in it, even though you don't need it, you don't want it, you don't believe it, nothing. So start doing that, because through these artificial actions, not according to your desire, not according to your understanding, not according to your thought, and in general, you have nothing to do with it, but you're doing it. Why? This is called faith of the sages, because you have a teacher who tells you, Tzvika, do it. Tzvika, do it. I know you don't want it. And even moreover, you have nothing for it or against it, nothing. It's as if this thing doesn't exist, thinking of others, but do it as if it does exist. Do the efforts. What will you have from it? The light that reforms will come. It comes to a person even if a person doesn't want it. He does the artificial action. That's the nature of the light. It comes from the outside. It's round. It doesn't work according to your desires, if they're good or bad, if you have the masachim and the rishimot. No. Even if you do the actions, like a small child. Why does a child grow? Because he's performing actions of a game. Acting. It's called a game because it's not real. That's why he's growing. The surrounding light is working on him. It's the same surrounding light over the entire creation. That's how it's done. Still vegetative and animate. They have the true inclination, tendency, a natural one of these creatures. They yearn to grow. They yearn And they do the actions in order to grow, to be. And that's how they grow up. It's true for a plant or for a small animal or for a human being. We have to take actions in the speaking level. It's the same. Actions as if we want it. Just as a child wants to grow up, I am a person in this world. I have to take deliberate actions in order to grow up. I do it against my desire, acknowledging that this is the way I have to do it, even though I don't want it, because by that I will grow by the same surrounding light. Because the difference between the levels of the still, vegetative, and animate that grow instinctively, they have an impulse from nature. I have to develop this impulse on my own. Of course, it comes by teacher and the scriptures, the books. They teach it to me. It doesn't come naturally to me. But I have to learn what does it mean to be in a greater degree. What does it mean to be in the speaking level? Because for the time being, I'm in the animate level. So, right now we have a necessity to engage in something as the spiritual person. And a spiritual person is thinking of others, of the Creator, not of himself at all. This is what we should engage in. Play. Act it. Accordingly, the surrounding light will come, but in the speaking level, not as it affects the animate and vegetative and still level. And then we will grow just as a baby grows. And you see how the Kabbalists talk about the stages of growth. Ibu, Yanika, Mochin, 3 years, 6 years, 9 years, 13 years, and one day, 20 years, 70 years. That's how we grow up. It is exactly by the same pattern. It's the same thing. So what are you so... If you don't want it, don't do it. But if you want to grow, not to stay in the degree of the beast, rather to come to the human level, the degree of the Adam, they teach you that. These are simple things. Don't say you can't do it. You came to the group, the Creator placed the hand, your hand on the good fortune, and he told you, take it for yourself. All the rest you'll get from the group, I, meaning the light of Ensof, I'm bestowing upon you, cultivating you, developing you, and to the extent that you now take the group and do artificial actions towards it, as if you are a great person, a grown-up, just as a child is acting, as if he's a grown-up. Is that clear to everyone? I don't know how else to explain this to you. That's why in our world, this is... Everything is organized for us. In the best way. You have everything. You have the books in front of you. You're in a house that is willing to do everything, to accept everything for you to develop. A group that's willing to help you. A teacher that's pouring everything you need on you. What else? Start doing some actions. Necessary actions of yourself in order to be Adam.
So what you're telling me now is that you have an opportunity, you were given a chance from above to perform spiritual work, and you have to understand it's an opportunity. It's not something you have to do. It's a chance to go against it and take your life in your hand.
There is no such thing that you have to do it. That's why it's called free choice. You don't have to. Free choice means that the person is given the conditions that don't compel him 100%. He's not compelled. Rather, only 90%. Even less. In the beginning, he's only 1 or 2% is compelled. Later on, it's 3 or 4. But meaning, a person is given freedom, but this freedom is pretty limited. Meaning, you are given a bad life for you to choose a better life. You don't choose the good, so you'll get worse conditions in order for you to choose the good. You don't choose the good, and again, that's how you advance. How do you behave with a small child who does all these pranks? He doesn't want to hear you. You put some pressure on him for him to behave better. Then you put more pressure. Then maybe you beat him up because you have to do something for his own good. How else will he grow up? Will he develop? What will be of him? Is that clear? And we, what about us? There are no worse children than us. They did everything for us. They explained it all. And what else to do? Yes.
Sergei from Moscow is asking, what kinds of work should a person do? Do the works we have to do now?
What actions should we now do in order to be Adam?
What actions should a human being, that we have to reach the degree of a human being, so what should a human being do?
That's written in the Arvut article. We have to, in the connection between us, to resemble ourselves in our quality to the quality of the light in the first degree, to slightly connect in order to build such a circle that we're all devoured in. Dissolve, we call it, as much as possible, that instead of I will have we, and instead of we will have one. That's it. And then we start feeling the Creator. And again, the sensation of the Creator doesn't come in order for us to feel good. I feel it, I discover it. Rather, specifically in order to make things harder. Make things harder for us. The fact that He's revealed it makes things harder. I'll have to take an action above the fact that I reveal Him. I'll have to conceal myself from Him. Then I'll have to build a masach, a screen. And that's the way it is. So don't think that the revelation of the Creator comes and now I know, now it's all fine. It's the opposite. That brings us an additional barrier, not a machsom, but a hardening, a burdening difficulty. Now, above His revelation, why did He reveal? He revealed in order for me to work specifically above it, as if it doesn't exist, as if I don't know, I don't understand. This is the opposite work. Well, we'll come to it. Okay. Yes, Dudi.
How does this switch happen where I suddenly stop working for myself? He goes over it in a sentence. There's like a point that I suddenly stop working for myself and I start working for the Creator. How does this inversion happen? Because the light does it and I expect the light, but where is that point where it happens?
You grow it by the light out of yourself, including yourself with the friends. The light only comes over the connection you have with the friends. And then by exerting to be with them in heart and soul, you evoke, you're always thinking of the light. How will I get a suntan, better suntan, that it will affect me? I want to rise above the egoistic state. And so it comes to me that I lose myself in them. I want to lose myself in them. I'm asking for Him to do it. My address to the light becomes more purposeful, more aware.
But I'm still asking him for my own benefit, and I'm also sunbathing
No, but I want to rise above reception, to bestowal. If I'm asking for bestowal, within the action of bestowal, within the force of bestowal that I'm asking, I'm requesting, over there, there are degrees. We learn about many degrees. Of course I'm praying, but I'm praying for others, and there we already start seeing what does it mean to pray for others. These others bring me a lot of avyut, coarseness. All the degrees, the worlds, they have terrible avyut. Over there is all the coarseness. Over here, it's nothing. Just as you see as a certain animal that is in a zoo. It eats, it sleeps, and that's it. It procreates, and that's it. We're the same. So all the egoistic desires of ours are in the spiritual world. There they develop specifically when you want to bestow, then true disturbances come.
And why is it I want to bestow?
Why is it you want to bestow? Because if you come to a group to develop your lishimo, your point in the heart, then you start yearning for it. You have a tendency towards it. That's why you want to bestow. What does you mean? It's not you. It's the Rishimo in you. Rather, where are you? You are only in the particular actions you can take with the group in connection. At that you are free, but not in your desire, your tendency towards spirituality. At that you're not free. When you sit here and you yearn for something spiritual, I don't know how you're imagining these things. None of you is here because he chose it. None of you. And each one's Lishimo is working over a certain step in the way. Later on, it's gone. Or a person keeps on going. But that depends on the height of the soul. It doesn't depend on us. What depends on us is to move on